Hey, can you believe it's Thursday already? Here we are back to school in St. Mary's. We're live in the cafeteria, which I think you know. You can hear in the background. We like to sign on right when lunchtime is ending, right? The kids are heading back to class. Yeah. And we're going to talk about the gatekeepers. We have three students in a minute. We'll meet Braden Keller, Aaron Burbright, and Ross Bowman. I have Sarah Derringer with me now, who's a mental health professional for St. Mary's. Sarah, good to see you. Thanks for coming.
Good to have me back, right?
It is. We talked to you a couple times, and I wanted to begin by having you first explain to us exactly what are the Gatekeepers.
The Gatekeepers is a youth-led club that focuses on mental health prevention and suicide prevention to reduce overall stigma and improve school climate.
All right. Sounds like certainly a noble endeavor, right? It's just trying to make things better both in school and in people's lives.
Yes. Yeah.
How long has the club been at it?
This is our eighth year, I believe, with Gatekeepers. It was founded after Kevin Hines, a survivor of suicide, came to speak to our students in the Mental Health and Recovery Services Board, started this initiative to put Gatekeepers in each school to kind of be the eyes and the ears and help kids that are struggling.
What I'd also like to hear about, and I'm sure that your students can help with this, is I'd like to hear about how it works. You know, where you meet and what are some of the things you're involved in?
We meet twice a month, usually for about a half hour during the school day, during our common rider time period. And each month we kind of focus on like a theme and we plan activities surrounding that, starting with this month being Suicide Prevention Month.
All right, let's hear about it. Let's kind of go in order here and we'll talk to Rob first. Good to see you. Thanks for coming.
Not a problem.
Tell me, if you would, what got you involved in the Gatekeepers? What are your favorite parts of the things you've been able to do so far?
Well, I originally got involved because there's like history in my family with attempts and stuff. So that's really what started it. And since I've joined, I just enjoy going out making care packages. Like probably my favorite thing we do is me and Braden go to the store and buy like stuff for care packages for kids who just got out of the hospital. And just giving back to the community.
Cool. What's in the care package?
Typically, we'll do like a stuffed animal, a blanket, candy, a water bottle, whatever we can find to make their stay at the hospital a little better.
I was going to say, things anybody would be happy to get. Right?
Yeah.
Very cool. I appreciate that. And for you, you know, you've talked about, you know, why you got into it, favorite things that you do. You're a senior now, which I know you don't need me to remind you of that.
Yep.
You know, but what's next for you? What is your future plan?
I want to go. My top choice is the University of Cincinnati. I want to go for either computer engineering or marketing.
Okay.
So
what kind of got you into those things?
Well, when you think about it, there will always be a need for computers at this point. So as long as there's a need, there will always be a job for it. And I'm also in DECA, so marketing is kind of like, I have a little bit of experience with it, and I know I like it. So if I don't like engineering, that's my backup plan.
Very good. Appreciate that. Well, we'll always need marketing, as we'll always need computers, right?
Yep.
Fantastic. Appreciate getting to talk to you. Let's, talk to Cameron now, also a senior. Share with me, how long have you been in Gatekeepers, and what are some of the things that you enjoy doing?
I joined as a freshman. There are some seniors that recruited me then, and so I've always loved giving back to the community and just helping others out, so that was one thing that I liked about Gatekeepers and just giving back to the community and helping out the school and doing the different things that we do around the school. Just it's what I like the best about it.
Let's hear about some of the things that you do around, you know, the school. I'm sure you've had a chance at times to hopefully, you know, make a positive impact in people's lives.
So we'll make positive posters, hang those around the school. We'll deliver just random acts of kindness to students, whether that's just putting a nice note on their locker, or we'll do different challenges where they will earn a gift basket to, like we do for the kids in the hospital and stuff. So we'll just go around. It's mainly just random acts of kindness that we do around the school.
That's pretty neat, you know. And back to the kids in the hospital. Let's face it, there's no such thing usually as a pleasant hospital stay. You don't want to be there, and you're probably thinking about how you're maybe falling behind in school and things like that. Pretty stressful time. If any group of people needed some kindness, it'd be people in the hospital, right?
Yeah.
All right. For you, can you tell us what comes next after high school?
Well, I've always loved baking, so my plan is to go to school for a business degree and then culinary school to open up my own bakery eventually.
All right. Good luck. Appreciate that. Let's, take a moment here. We're going to meet Brayden Keller. And Brayden, share with us, how long have you been in the club? What do you enjoy about it?
I joined as a sophomore because my sister was the president. I didn't know a lot about the club, but she convinced me. But I like that we just, whether even the people that don't attend in the school, we're making an impact on them, making it a better place for them and the community, even if they don't show up to the meetings. That's what I like about it. And what was the other question?
I was going to say, let's talk about some of the things that you've done in the club, and what are some of your favorite things?
My favorite thing was we did a color run last year. It was a 5K out at the school or at the track, and it wasn't just high schoolers. Anyone in the community could join. You got a T-shirt that promoted mental health, and a lot of us volunteered to help, and I really like that.
Have you ever gotten any feedback, from some of the people you've done things for that they kind of know you're in the club, they've ever approached you, anything like that?
Going along with what Ross said with the care packages, I know every year we always get a thank you from the people we make care packages for, and we'll make notes for, like, seniors or other groups of people, and I know they always appreciate that.
I'm sure if, some freshmen are listening, would you encourage them, like, get involved, do this, just as they may have benefited from some of the things that you've done. They can carry that on.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
How about, as I've been asking that, I'll ask you, what's next for you? What are your career plans?
I know I want to go to college. I'm not sure where yet. I love mathematics. That's what I'm going to major in. And after, I think I want to be an actuary once I graduate.
Very nice. Good luck. Let's talk with Sarah, one more time here. We got time at the end. Sarah, if you would share with us, how long have you been in the school district?
This is my 10th year as the mental health professional for the district, my 24th year in social work all around.
All right. For you, can you share with us also where you're from, where you grew up originally? What got you into education, especially this side of it?
Born and raised in St. Mary's, graduate of St. Mary's, happy to be here and be back. I've always been interested in helping others. I was going to go to school to be a teacher. And then decided once I was doing some work in the education field, really drawn to those kids that just needed the extra support. And so that's why I landed where I did.
All right. Sometimes it'd be great if maybe we all went to school with some kids that just used to school. Right? Mm-hmm. It must be nice. I'm not knocking them for that. But, for a lot of kids, a lot of us, you struggle in school, right?
Yeah.
You're trying to keep your grades up. You might be a little socially awkward.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us can remember back then. It was not only
No, the struggles existed then. Now it's okay to talk about it. And I think that's what a lot of gatekeepers does, is just to break that stigma. That it's okay to not be okay. And we all go through things, and it doesn't matter, what your background is, and doesn't matter where you come from, but we're all in this together kind of thing.
You also find that there are, different times of the year where, certain problems tend to arise. I would think, for some, it can be like in the beginning of the year, maybe they've changed buildings,
mm-hmm.
right? Or the reality that they're a senior has hit them.
Yeah.
Or better yet, the things you did that weren't there the last time that you had them. Like maybe their parents split up over the summer, right? Stuff like that.
Yeah, there's tragedy and trauma all over the place. It comes and goes. It's peaks and valleys in mental health. So, especially with kids, I see a month into school, we're kind of, everyone's getting a little tired of each other. The work's getting harder. Pressures are stepping up. And they're wrapping up their sports season. Just a lot hits kids these days, and I think just having support of each other and is really important to get them through those times. We see a lot of struggles with seniors toward that March mark, here we go, graduation's around the corner. Winter is tough. Winter blues set in January, and so we try to promote some mental wellness during that month. That's where these gift baskets come in, self-care baskets, we tie activities around that.
That's true. You get up in the morning and it's dark. I know the school day isn't that long, but for some people, it's like you go to work, whatever, you go home, it's dark, and after a while you think, I feel like a mushroom. This is no fun. Where's my son? What's going on here? And maybe we don't realize that has more of an effect than that, right?
It does. You got to get your vitamin D and your sun when you can, but maybe we'll work on something like that for the winter. Maybe we'll try to bring in some light therapy or something.
Light therapy could work. Of course, what we've had lately, some air conditioning therapy would be nice.
True. It is pretty hot.
All of you, I'm over the 5-degree days. It's getting a little it's supposed to be cooler in September, right? What's going on?
Yes.
So, you know, also, as you talked about, now it's okay to talk about. And something that, you know, obviously can't just be the teachers, right? But we see a lot of things where, you know, people are posting things like "you matter" or mm-hmm. "don't be afraid to speak up," or better yet, you know, normalize, you know, mm-hmm. mental health. For example, we say, well, if you have a cold or a cough, it won't go away or something. You're not really looked at strangely if you go to the doctor to check it out. But
right.
sometimes it's hard to speak up and say, well, I'm dealing with anxiety, or I've got PTSD from this thing that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, we shouldn't look at it different.
No, no, we don't. And, I mean, it's all around us. You know, no one is immune, and it doesn't discriminate. And, yeah.
Well, I think these last couple of years have been tough, right?
We're still dealing with the COVID aftermath, a lot of isolation, resiliency is down. You know, we're still fighting that mental health battle that was associated with that time.
Sure. And some of the things that you said that hasn't changed, still see like a lot of cliques, right, in school, or you know, certain people that
mm-hmm.
just kind of stick with their friends,
yep.
you know, that kind of stuff, too.
Yeah, we have all sorts of groups, and Gatekeepers is another way for us to reach out to everybody, and no matter what group you belong to, and just kind of try to bring people together, because like I said, we all have some similarities in struggles, and you know, just making everyone feel like normal, whatever normal looks like these days.
I was going to say, I don't know what that is anymore, right?
Yeah.
You know, as we kind of work our way through the year, we talked about some of the things they have done. For Gatekeepers, what are some of the things you have yet still coming up?
Okay, well, this is September, so Suicide Prevention Month. And next week, we're going to be, you know, getting some information out about local resources and warning signs and passing out bracelets and pins and getting people to wear pink and or teal and purple to represent suicide awareness. So we'll be active next week and doing that at lunchtime, probably. October is anti-bullying month, so we'll try to put on our dodge bullying tournament again, if we can pull that off, right? I'm not good at in brackets, so it's up to these kids. January mental wellness. I mean, we'll give back to the community in November. In December, we're going to go to Otterbein and hang out with the seniors there, do
always
some activities. Senior citizens struggle with mental health too, so I think we can shed some light with them and bring that to them. And then the gift baskets at Christmas for those surgical kids, random acts of kindness in February, coping strategies for March and April, and mental health awareness in May. So we have a full slate. We just got to get some people really involved in helping us, because we can't do it alone. These are my officers of 2 years, so I'm going to be missing them next year if we don't get some people in here to help us.
Yeah, I think you will.
Yeah.
Right? Some of the things you talked about, yeah, Suicide Prevention Month, there's one that's on a lot of people's minds. Unfortunately, we still see it too much.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, certainly in school, but even among young adults, right? It's one of the higher you know, causes of death in that age bracket,
yeah.
right?
Yes, it is. And it's the second leading cause of death for kids 10 to 24. So, it's first for, you know, 10 and under. I mean, that's bad. I mean, it's preventable and treatable. And I think knowing those warning signs and how to get help can really save lives.
And some of that also, we can talk about look for signs, but in recent years, I've also heard an emphasis of just see how everyone's doing, because we also have had too many of those stories where suicide takes place. Everybody around the person says, I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
They never showed any signs.
Yeah.
Everything seemed to be great. And those are the ones that, how do you
people
that,
people
right?
are good can put on a face. I mean, there's a lot of kids that are walking around and appear to have it all together, but we know that we don't always. And I think saying you're fine is kind of a fine, because we're not all fine. And, you know, it's okay to talk about the struggles that you're having that go along with that. But the people that always act like they got it together are at the top of my list, because I think they might be silently suffering. You know, I watch a lot of things, attendance, grades, drops, change in, you know, personality or activities. And those are kids I call down, and I'd rather be annoying and a nuisance to calm them down than not. And, you know, because we have found a few that were struggling, and we would have never known otherwise. So
that's true. And as scary as it may be to ask those questions, I imagine the young person you're talking to is pretty terrified also, right?
Yeah.
Finally, somebody knows. Somebody saw through it, right?
sometimes it's just a huge relief to be able to tell someone, and it's scary to ask for help and talk about it, but I think once you rip that Band-Aid off and you start treating that wound, you're on your way to recovery.
You also talked about anti-bullying. Bullying has changed a lot since, you know, you and I were in school, or when I was in school 15 years ago, or whenever it was. Bullying was like whether they knocked the books out of your hands, right, or picked on you, or took things from you. Unfortunately, this internet thing came along, and now bullying is a lot worse than it ever was before, right?
Yeah, cyberbullying, it doesn't go away, and it's carried into school, and, you know, Ross is right, computers are going to be here forever, so we just, you know, I think if we can use that to our advantage and keep spreading the positivity through social media, and look for problems and errors there, I mean, we might also be able to help someone that is going through that. Cyberbullying is contagious. It's all over. It's not the same as it used to be. It's easier to sit behind and be a keyboard warrior than face someone face, you know, sure, to their face. So,
That's one thing about when people start up with you online, they're a lot tougher than they are in real life. They're a lot smarter than they are in real life. They're always an expert in everything, no question. They know it all, and you kind of look at that and you realize, okay, I know I've got problems. This person really has problems. And we kind of got to block them and just kind of move on, right?
Yeah. That is our recommendation mostly because, you know, you really can't control the things around you and the people around you, but you can control yourself and how you handle that. So it's hard. It's hard to walk away, but it takes more courage to do that than argue back, fight back, and bully back.
Yeah, that's very true. Mm-hmm. So also, I'm sure you probably talk with them about, like, phones are not going away, social media is not going away, but be smart in how you use it, right? I mean, be careful what you post, right?
Yeah, I mean, phones and social media are great when they're used the right way. I mean, it's just caused such a disconnect. I love social media for many reasons, but I hate it for that reason that, you know, anymore you can't even go into a restaurant without seeing a family, you know, sitting down to have dinner without having their phone on their table or checking that. And I just really think that human connection piece is lost. And I really wish we could fight to get that back.
Yeah, and maybe we will. Yeah. You know, I'm showing my age here. I didn't have cell phones at that age, but I had a Game Boy. That was kind of the same thing. You kind of lose yourself in that, right?
Phones have also caused just like the, you know, nobody can really wait. I mean, everything's at our fingertips. Instant gratification. Everybody wants it now, needs it now. Our patience is thinner. We can access it quick, but we get frustrated when technology doesn't always work. And so that can cause people to get mad too.
I've gotten a few tips of things overnight, you know, if there's a fire or something, and I'll get this like, hello, are you there? And I'll wake up and say, okay, you know, I do sleep sometimes. Not enough, not very often,
exactly,
but sometimes I actually do sleep.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll get, and a lot of us have to do that. Hey, well, I'll get to this later. Right now I got this going.
Yeah. And setting that boundary for yourself is important, and it's taking care of yourself and needed to, you know, give yourself that rest and break from everything else going on around you because our minds are always going.
Just tell everybody my phone's about to die. That always works, right? Does that still work? Yeah. That works, right? All right, we're going to take, I want to thank all of you for coming. Best of luck to all of you. Sarah, nice to see you again. We're going to switch gears, and we're going to talk about industrial tech and some other things after these messages on 96.7 The Wave.
If you want superior quality care for your hearing imbalance needs, then you need to contact Family Audiology Associates. Hi, I'm Dr. Ellen Hunter, owner of Family Audiology. Let us use our state-of-the-art equipment and focus on your specific needs. Whether it is hearing loss, hearing instruments, or balance issues, my staff and I will give you the care that you and your family deserve. Family Audiology Associates is just a phone call away, and we would be honored to have you in our family. Family Audiology Associates, your hometown hearing expert.
TNT Auto Sales is a place to find your reliable pre-owned vehicle. TNT Auto Sales is a family-owned used car dealership with an honest approach to your car buying experience, specializing in vehicles under $20,000 with competitive pricing. TNT Auto Sales has a variety of vehicles to choose from to fit your budget and needs with fair trade-in values and financing available. Make your car buying experience easy by coming to TNT Auto Sales located on Route 66 in downtown St. Mary's. Check out TNT Auto Sales on Facebook to find your next vehicle.
We're speaking with Doug Moran of Moran Refrigeration today about service.
We've always prided ourselves on servicing everything that we sell. I really won't take on a line unless I can do the service on it. That's important. That's something that we can offer that the big box store can't. You know, like I say, we pride ourselves on taking care of our customers after the sale, not just when they come in to buy, but long after. We want them back. We emphasize service.
Moran Refrigeration on South Wayne Street in St. Mary's.
Yeah. Hey, welcome back here as we are live at St. Mary's Memorial High School for back to school. We're going to talk to Mike Reams, who's the Fellowship of Christian Athletes and also the Industrial Tech Department. Mike, good to see you. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, I appreciate you guys having time for me to get on here and just talk about all the great things that's going on here in St. Mary's.
Let's hear about, most importantly, you know, we'll begin with talking a bit about your own background, for example. Tell us, you know, where you came from originally and what got you to this point.
Well, I've always been a All-Glades County boy. I grew up in Waynesfield. So I'm a Dove G. Tiger graduate from way back in 95. Went to Ohio Northern University, got my teaching degree there. Spent a couple years coaching some college football. And, you know, I had the opportunity to get here in 2001 and you actually use that teaching degree I got. And, you know, it's been a busy 23 years ever since then. I've done a lot of teaching, a lot of awesome kids, coached a lot of great boys in the football program. Been running the Fellowship of Christian Athletes program since 2001. So we're in the 23rd, 24th year of that program as well.
All right. What I wanted to ask you to share with us, exactly what is Fellowship of Christian Athletes? You know, what do you mean? Who can be in it? And what's the objective of it?
Well, that's a great question. And, you know, FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, is actually the largest student religious organization in the United States. The main base is out of, I think, the Kansas City. The co-founders are actually former U.S. Olympians. It's been around for decades. We meet this year. We currently meet every Wednesday during Common Rider time. Our attendance has been phenomenal. We've been over 80 kids in every one of our meetings. I always tell them, you know what, it says our Fellowship of Christian Athletes, the main word there is Christian. You don't necessarily have to be an athlete. We have a lot of band members that come in, and, you know, some people would argue, you know, band is a sport, but, you know, we have a great time. I facilitate it. We get a lot of guest speakers coming in. The kids a lot of times will teach the lessons as well. And, we just try to get a lot of these guys, and gals that are curious about their faith to get from that curious part to that serious part and have a growing relationship with Jesus Christ.
And I was going to say, different, obviously, than I'm sure a lot of the kids, like every Sunday, that they might go to church, but you're trying to reach them in a different way, right?
Oh, absolutely. We represent probably at least 10 to 12 different churches. But I would actually say the mass majority of our attendees this year, they don't attend church regularly. So this is that one chance that they can feed their spiritual body during the week. And it's neat. They come up with some good questions. They come up with some good lessons, and I think it's important that they hear about how they can apply the Christian walk, the Christian faith to their everyday life from their peers.
And certainly, people, you know, if you watch sports, there's a lot of religious athletes, and
yeah.
Some of them, you know, they're quite vocal about it if they get that one interview after the game, right?
Sure, sure.
Yeah, we're around the same. You remember Kurt Warner, right, with his famous,
oh, my
you know,
goodness, yeah, absolutely.
And, but also...
more recent times, we've got Tim Tebow. And,
right.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I was also thinking that for a lot of them, when you think about the discipline and the faith needed, you know, to play a sport,
mm-hmm.
you can see where these two things would come together pretty good, right?
Well, that's what I always thought. You know, as an athlete myself, way back in the day, I loved sports. And I knew being a Christian was the right thing. And to be able to combine those two, you know, Fellowship of Christian Athletes just seems like the perfect fit. And you're exactly right. Being able to be stable in your mind, body, and spirit, that way you can handle the demands of being an athlete, being the demands of a student. And you look at some of these kids, they're not just an athlete. They're not just a student. They are involved in work programs. They're doing other curricular, extracurricular activities outside of their sports, whether it's student council, whether it's with the thespians. Our kids are very engaged in multiple things in the community.
For sure. And also, you know, as much as like sports, I think in general, such a such a great parallel to life, right? I mean, think about the peaks and valleys of life. Or
absolutely.
The days where you don't win. The days where that are great days. And perhaps you learn, don't let the bad times get you down too much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't get too comfortable on top either because it's not going to last. But
yep.
Celebrate the victories a little harder, right?
Oh, you're 100% right. We said it one time. We probably said it a million times as far as you're never as good as you think you are. You're never as bad as you think you are. And there are always some of the best lessons are learned from those losses. We preach to our athletes and with FCA as far as always staying humble and hungry and knowing that if you're not growing and not changing, if you're not changing, you're not growing. And we always want to get that better version of ourselves out there. And it's neat to see how some of these kids do embrace it. Some of them are going through those valleys right now, and with FCA and athletics, that might be the most positive thing they have going on in their lives, and we're glad to be able to provide that for them.
Now, the other thing you do in the industrial tech department, and for a lot of students, a lot of great memories of taking classes associated with that. What do you teach kids in that?
I tell you what, we are so very blessed here at St. Mary's. When I'm out and about in my daily life, whether it's here in Albany County or just around the world, and I tell people I'm a shop teacher, you know, industrial tech shop teacher. I'm like, really, you guys still have that in your high school? Because so many programs have gone to the wayside. And I think the country has suffered from that. We see this lack of skilled tradesmen. People are willing to be able to get out there and get dirty with their hands, do some of the manual labors, but also be able to do that critical problem solving that, you know, you have to build this, to be able to, for this solution. We're very fortunate that we've always recognized that St. Mary's is a blue collar community. Our administration, our school board has always kept it. You know, we've been tight on some of the levers. We've been right there on that cut line. But we've been able to maintain the industrial tech program. And absolutely, that's why I became a shop teacher. Some of my fondest memories were, in my own shop class with my own shop teachers and my shop buddies. But we still offer a lot of the traditional stuff. We do a Woods 1, Woods 2, Woods 3 program. Scott Schlosser, he's my so-called work wife, my partner down there in the shop area. He teaches the metal tech. We do a CAD drafting, also architectural drafting, and we do a home improvement class. And, you know, the home improvement class is one of those deals we get, we're all over the place. It's kind of what the kids want. But if you want to do a walk around the vehicle so you understand, hey, how much tire or how much pressure do you need in your tire? To being able to swap out an outlet in your own home. That way we can save them some money. They don't need to hire every service company out there to take care of all that. We want them to be confident, be able to pick up a tool, and you know, be able to use it in a safe manner. But yeah, we have a great program here.
You know, as we're talking with Mike Reams, I'm gonna date both of us now. But gosh, when. Now, you know, your car tells you what your tire pressure is. Your car tells you when you need air.
Yeah.
Back in the day, right?
And
I remember doing this, gauging tires.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Many kids would look at us like we handed them a slide rule or something.
You're totally accurate on that. And it's funny, just to show them something that simple, or even how to take a windshield wiper off and put it on. I mean, some of these guys, I say guys, I mean, I actually, I've seen the growth in the female student population in our program in the last few years, and I think it's fantastic. They do wonderful work. But, yeah, I want them to know, hey, this is where the oil goes. This is how, you know, this is simple things like that. This is how you safely jump a car battery in case you get stranded. We like to focus on some of those life skills that's going to help them out after the high school years.
You know, what I really like to do is, especially these things, learn how to safely jump a car, but there's a lot of like car starters you can just keep in your car, so you're not having to beg somebody, hey, can you give me a job? You know, you can actually do that yourself if it's charged, you know?
Yeah, the power boxes that they have. And that's the one fun thing. I love making lists with the kids. I mean, anywhere from, you know, what are some of the new modern home solutions that they have, you know, because, back in our day, you know, a smart home was almost unheard of. Now they can control their lights from their phones. They can, if they want to cool the house down before they get home, they can get on their phone and adjust the thermostat. And there's a lot of that high tech stuff that goes on with our vehicles as well. So it is neat, you know, and I get them down to even talking about the basic hand tools and what the cost of those are. So, you know, what would you want in your DIY, your do-it-yourself toolbox, and what would that cost? And, you know, instead of asking for that new, $120 sneaker, why don't you ask for a toolbox with some tools? Those are going to last you a lot longer than those new sneakers.
That battery, they're going to wear out.
Yeah.
You know, and then also, what's neat is, again, you know, back then, you really didn't have a way to ask questions on how to do things unless you had, like, those Time Life book things that you sell.
Yeah.
A lot of times you can simply YouTube things, like, this is the issue I have at home. Let me look it up. Maybe you can do it yourself.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, certain things you don't want to play with, electricity kind of comes to mind, but certain other things where, you know, what can I do? My molded is coming out. Well, my floor is starting to bow a little bit. What can I do? You'd be surprised. Take some money.
It is. It's a blessing and a curse that you get. It empowers people to do their own work. And, you know, some of their skills are very honorable and admirable. And there's probably some people that probably should never pick up a screwdriver or a hammer. But, you know, the YouTube, you're right. It's even with my background knowledge of being exposed to a lot of construction trades, there's still many times I sit down and I am able to look up specifically how to fix my water softener so I don't have to go out and spend another $1,100 to replace it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's definitely a neat day and age that these kids are growing up in.
That it is, and we encourage them, right, take advantage of that. Another thing that maybe you talk to them about, too, that may not, you know, be as known. How do you change a tire?
Mm-hmm.
Right? You might get a flat, and rather than have to call and wait for someone to come out, you might be able to pop that spare on. You can get to work, get to school, and then, you know, later on, go to one of the tire shops, they'll put a new one on. You might need more than that. You know, maybe all your tires should be replaced, but certainly we got to remember how to change the tire, right?
Yeah, and that's one of the best things about being in the industrial tech. We don't necessarily have a state standard that we have to follow. We're not teaching tools to test like most of the academic courses here. So I do. I will start out with that home improvement class. Like, guys and gals, what do you guys want to learn this year? And it's neat to see the list that they come up with. It's like, hey, you know what? Me and my brother was wrestling, and we put a hole in the drywall. How can we patch that? You know, my brother and I never did anything like that.
No,
if my dad's listening, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's just simple fixes like that.
You know, it's a long time ago, but when I used to run a restaurant, we had in the back door, the edge of the office, somebody opened it too big and punched a hole right in the wall. We put a doorstop over it.
Oh, yeah.
On the wall.
Yeah,
it looked really good. We never did fix it, but, it looked good.
You can only hang so many pictures on the wall to cover up holes. So, so it's a fun task to see these guys engaged. And a lot of times they start out and they are just awesome. They don't have the background, but to see them get the smile on their faces and see them being able to accomplish things, and that's the beauty of the woodworking classes. Yeah, we're just making sawdust. In Woods 1, they're making gumball machines and CO2 race cars. But the CO2 race cars, you think about it, it goes from the design process into the fabrication process into the testing process, and then they can reanalyze, you know, why is this car faster than this one? So we're able to put them in situations that they could possibly see in the manufacturing setting or as future engineers or, you know, whether they're college bound or just vocational bound and heading into the job market. There's places for all these guys. And I think we're starting to see that realization, seeing that gap, that some of these guys can go in there into a vocational school, get some skills, and make a really solid financial living and be able to provide for themselves and make them a better, you know, prosperous citizen in our neighborhood. So,
but thanks again for your time. Nice to meet you.
Hey, it's been a pleasure. It's been a blessing. So thank you so much.
My pleasure. And we're going to take the break. We're going to talk to the man himself up next, Superintendent Bill Ruane, after these messages on 96.7 away.
When you buy your next vehicle, think Buds. Hi, I'm Matt Hamilton with Buds Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Salina. When you buy a vehicle from Buds, you'll have the peace of mind knowing you'll always receive the best service, the best follow-up, and the best deal. We carry a large selection of trucks, cars, vans, and SUVs, both new and used. Buds Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on South Main Street in Salina, under the huge American flag. Visit us online or on your smartphone at budschrysler.com.
Oh, O'Reilly.
Need a little help?
O'Reilly Auto Parts can help. Need advice? We've got advice. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Exceptional customer service. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Mom, meet Sarah.
From first-time Nana moments.
Now, welcome to Flight 101.
To annual girls' trip moments. Your can't-miss moments are worth protecting against RSV. If you are 75 or older or 60-plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV. And there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at VaxAssist.com.
So where should we go next?
Sponsored by Pfizer.
In his ads, Sherrod Brown talks about common sense.
It's just common sense.
But Brown's record shows a complete lack of common sense. Sherrod Brown voted multiple times to allow transgender biological males to compete in girls' sports.
Common sense.
And Brown introduced a bill to allow transgender biological men in girls' locker rooms.
Common sense.
Brown supported allowing minor children to receive sex change surgeries. And Brown-backed Bidenomics, reckless Washington spending and inflation causing prices to soar on gas, groceries, electricity, and housing, making life harder for Ohio families and seniors.
It's just common sense.
Actually, it's nonsense. Brown's extreme liberal policies make absolutely no sense outside of Washington, D.C. But that's the real Sherrod Brown. He's way too liberal for Ohio. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
You're in tune with WCSM-FM. Salina St. Mary's, where we do it for you.
Time now to take a look at our exclusive Radar Weather Watch forecast brought to you by Technical Roofing.
Bright sunshine this afternoon with a high of 88. Winds out of the north around 5 miles per hour. Mainly clear tonight, 59. Daytime highs approaching 91 tomorrow. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times Saturday with daytime highs approaching 88. 86, chance of thunderstorms Sunday.
Bill, do you know what the greatest invention is?
The wheel?
No.
Remote control drones?
What? No, roofs. A good roof protects humans from wind and rain. It allows us to sleep in peace and protects what we value most.
Like our drones.
That's why we take roofs seriously. At Technical Roofing of St. Henry, we are dedicated in servicing roofs that protect and last.
Visit technicalroofing.com or call 866-678-1020. Your Duralast contractor of choice.
Bill, you just sat on your drone.
Currently at the Cooper Farm Studios, a 96.7 The Wave. The barometer is at 29.94 inches. Winds are out of the northeast at 5 miles an hour. Sunny skies, 79 degrees. The Radar Weather Watch brought to you by Technical Roofing. Let's head back out to St. Mary's. It's Back to School with Kevin Sandler.
Hey, thanks again, Clay. We're back at school in St. Mary's. We have Superintendent Bill Levine with us. And so first of all, thanks for coming. Always good to see you. And just wanted to ask too is share with us, I mean, just how things are going these days at St. Mary's in particular. You know, this is still what I would call a young school year. So how are
you? Yeah. Well, first, thanks for having me today, Kevin, and thanks for being here in our schools and letting us highlight a lot of the good things going on. As you said, it's back to school and it's the beginning of the school year. So there's lots of excitement and lots of things going on. Lots of field trips early in the year and lots of different opportunities for our kids to get outside and do some learning. When you said to introduce me, though, as superintendent, I got a little scared. Today's I'm probably the least favorite person in the district today, especially sitting in the lunchroom in front of the kids because of the fog this morning. The buses have rolled out before the delays called, but so we were able to get our buses in and get everything going, but it's always a tough call. You know, you can't predict the fog. Like you can maybe see a little bit more about the ice and the snow and the bad weather, but the fog can roll in and that's kind of what happened today. So, I'm a little nervous. I might get thrown or pelted with some food in the lunchroom right now by the middle school kids here, but all joking aside, everyone's, off to a good school year and the kids are just glad to be here. The staff's glad to be here. One of our focuses this year, last year, our focus was really on reading. And we did a Writers Are Readers campaign. And we had different posters of different clubs, athletes, coaches, administrators, teachers, and a lot of different people in the community posters and then said what their favorite book was, and we post them around the buildings to try to get kids excited about reading. We did some different competitions and some different promotions with reading, and just really focused on that. Our middle school did the one book, one school, where they read one book and they all talk about the same book and the same themes, and it kind of brings the kids in the school and the staff together as they talk about the messages in that book. So we're carrying over some of those things because you can never focus enough on reading, and especially with the big push in Ohio with the dyslexia training and the science of reading for our staff, and honing down on that for kids and teaching them the best ways how to read and be efficient readers. But this year we're switching gears a little bit, and we're actually doing We Are Rough Writers and focusing on writing. And I just actually came from a PD with our intermediate fourth and fifth grade teachers, our ELA teachers, and they were all putting together rubrics and discussing goals and how we can improve our students' writing skills. And they're doing a PD called Writing Revolution, and they're really excited about it. And this day and age, I think it's really important, especially with the AI and the artificial intelligence and the technology and the tablets and everything, that students can still go back to that fundamental and that higher level thinking of putting together their thoughts and putting them down on paper and sentences and, and creating their own work. So that's really what our focus is going to be this year. As it takes a little bit more work than maybe it used to be as we try to pull those out of students and get them motivated to do it, because they've got used to relying a little bit more on that artificial intelligence and those technology that's out there. But we have our challenge cut out for us, but our teachers are ready, and I think that writers are readers, and Writing Revolution, along with the PD, that Writing Revolution is really going to help our teachers.
I was going to add, too, with this artificial intelligence, yeah, it's a little jarring how far it's come so quickly, and I don't know that I'm comfortable letting it write anything for me, but even I have to admit, I like the feature where it offers suggestions.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You could do this, you could do that,
yep.
And they're not bad suggestions. I think I'm cool with using it for that.
Yep.
The whole idea that it's going to do it for you is disturbing.
Yeah, and obviously that's a challenge in the educational setting. You have to teach kids to be critical thinkers and problem solvers, so you... Obviously, in this day and age, everybody, as adults and as professionals, you rely on technology to help you. So we have to find that balance of teaching the kids when it's appropriate to rely on technology to help you, and when you're creating your own thoughts, and the importance of still having those critical thinking, problem-solving skills on your own, and then using those to guide you or give you, as you said, Kevin, suggestions, and not doing it for you.
And then coming up on Friday, big night, you guys are playing the OG Titans. It's Hall of Fame night. I'm sure you want the town to pack the stadium on that day, right?
Yep, this is always one of my favorite nights the whole year. It's the Hall of Fame for our MHS Alumni Foundation. Being a Memorial High School alumni myself in the class of 2000, this is always a big, big honor for me. I serve on the foundation committee along with like Bill Kellermeyer, the president, Diana Dominguez, Kelly Huber, Chris Falk, Gail Mason-Brink, Mandy Martin, Tim Ryer, Kathy Sampson, Tracy Lau, Doug Spencer, Rhonda Shelby, some really great individuals that are just really committed to our school system, our community, and they just put together a great, great night to honor individuals that have really stood out as graduates of Memorial High School. We have four categories. We have the professional achievement. We have the athletic achievement. We have service to St. Mary's City Schools, and then the new one that we added was military service. So we have eight individuals going in this year. All of them have great, great histories and have done great things, and we're very proud of them. So looking forward to honoring them that night. We even have one gentleman who was actually killed in World War II, and he was in the Battle of D-Day. And we actually awarded him a diploma at the last board meeting to his family members on his behalf. And then we'll do that again at the ceremony on Friday. But it's just a really, really neat night to kind of celebrate some good people that came out of our town and, the foundation of the educational values, the work ethic and the family values of our small town, and how they've gone on to make names for themselves and do great things for our not just our community, not just our state, but sometimes even the world. So it's neat.
That it is. And some of the other things, that are coming up that I know, you wanted to hit on, for example, golf and couple times I pulled in this week. I see him out there practicing.
Yep. It's been a hot fall, but our athletes are doing a great job. Both girls just wrapped up their season girls golf as WBL champions. They were undefeated in regular season and won the tournament. Boys just finished the regular season tied for first place with OG, and they have their actual WBL tournament today, so we're anxiously kind of waiting to see how they do. Our football team had some great games, lost a tough one with WAPOC, but it was a little physical and played a great game. Volleyball is competing well, cross country. It's just soccer teams are off to the great starts and in the lead and up towards the top of the WBL. So it's a great fall, and our kids are working hard. Our band is exciting. Our band has new uniforms this year. They, after 18 years, they have new uniforms. We're one of the few all brass bands still in the state that has all brass bands. And they're putting on great performances and, you know, coming off a year where our both symphonic and concert bands had ones and made it to state in their competitions. Our choir kids came in first and had ones in their competitions and went to state. And then just our drama and art clubs have done a great job. So it's not just athletics. Our arts and our academics are really doing a great job, too. So they're making us proud.
That's pretty neat about the new uniforms. That's 18 years. That's a long time. They lasted a good long time.
Yes, they
right?
do. They get their use out of them. But it was definitely time, and they're kind of proud of them this year. We kind of went away from the more navy and gold look, which people always say, your colors aren't navy. And we're like, yeah, but it looks good on the uniform for 20 years, but it's time. Now we have a little bit more of the Rough Rider blue, the royal blue, and the gold, and they just look really sharp with the black accent or the white accent. So we are proud of them, and they sound great. No, just look good. They sound great out there, so that's good.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing is, talk about a brass band. Hey, nothing against any other kind of band, but a brass band has a sound all its own. It is unique, and I'm sure you're glad to have
it. Oh, yeah, it is. It's unique, and I know our advisors and teachers will never, never want to change right now because they're both graduated from Memorial High School alumni themselves under, Dane Newlove and Becky Anderson had great teachers there. And this is the tradition. But they sound great and they really like it. It creates a little bit of an issue just because, some of those woodwind players that in fifth and sixth grade and seventh and eighth grade, they get used to playing the woodwind and then, in a few months, we get them ready, and they switch over. But they do a great job of not just teaching the freshmen how to march, but half of those freshmen are trying a new instrument for the first time.
It is good.
It teaches the kids so many skills. You know, we always talk about the value of music and instruments and how it helps with academics and learning stuff. But the fact that our kids get to learn different instruments and have to master both of them and learn to march and everything, it just sets them a little bit apart. So. When they go on the concert band and symphonic band and then go back to their instrument, I think it shows a little extra even because, like most of the other bands, they get to practice the same instrument all year, but ours gets to do both. So that's kind of a neat little experience for them.
Another thing I wanted to ask you about as well, especially because it's kind of right behind us, walking around in the cafeteria, you've got a school resource officer, and you've had one, you know, for some years that I know who it is has changed maybe a few times, but let's talk about the importance of having a police officer in the school.
Yep, and we've been fortunate. We've had some really good school resource officers over the last several years. Currently, it's Officer Gary James, who is an alumnus of St. Mary's Memorial High School as well. And he's been doing it for several years now, and he does a great job. It's just one of those added security measures that schools take nowadays. And I think you've probably seen there's been a lot of social media rumors or threats that have been going out as kind of a national, nationwide kind of an issue where people are screenshotting things and sending them out. But we do take every threat very serious. You have to this day and age. And just having that presence in the building, he does a great job forming relationships with students, building that connection and that relationship so kids feel comfortable with the police and know how to respect law enforcement and follow rules. And then can approach them if they have issues and stuff and feel like they're part of the team and part of the solution. They're not always just there to arrest you or bad things you do, but you want the positives, and he does a nice job of building those.
Yeah, and sometimes, let's face it, there are times where there's a discipline issue that's probably best handled by your principals or teachers, what have you, then other times you might think, you know, we need Officer James, or you might even have questions about things, you know?
Yep, and he does a great job with all those things. And like I said, the biggest thing, he's there builds relationships with our staff, our administrators, and our kids, and also our parents. So, you know, and then in the summer and on the holidays and different times, he's out on the streets as the St. Mary's PD. So he steps in here and takes on a little bit more role as a teacher, and then he steps out in there and he's a little bit more of a police officer. So he does a great job.
I can see also, especially with the younger kids, they're of that age, you know, the cops, the firefighters, they're cool.
Yep.
They probably think it's me.
They do. They give them fist bumps all the time, and then when they get a little bit older, they start going over there, you know, and we work with the Auglaize County Sheriff's Department, and now they have a new DARE officer, and Tim Ramel, who is also a St. Mary's Memorial High School alumnus. And, you know, but they build that relationship then with the law enforcement and say, hey, you know, stay away from the drugs as a kid. You'll be the temptations and the peer pressure. But you have to keep your priorities, especially if you want to be successful with your academics, with your athletics, with your arts. There's more to it than just trying that peer pressure. So building that relationship is huge, though.
No question. No matter where you live, no matter who your family is, life, you know, you're gonna encounter those pits, and the idea is don't fall in them, right?
Exactly, you know? Exactly. And having that relationship with them really, really helps.
I also wanted to give you a chance. I know you like to talk about the St. Mary's College Credit Plus program.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty successful, and a lot of kids when their career here comes to an end, you know, next spring. Some of them might be going to college as sophomores already, right?
Yep. And that's one of the things that, as superintendent, as the former high school principal here, I'm very proud of. I think we do a great job of building foundations for these kids so that then they can be successful in whatever pathway they choose. It's all about finding their strengths, their interests, and setting them up so that when they leave these doors, no matter which career pathway or lifestyle they want to go, that they're going to be successful and they have those foundations and skills ready to take them there. One of our great programs that we put a feather in our cap in is our College Credit Plus program. We have over 100 kids involved in it, usually saving families in our communities over $500,000 as a cumulative amount. When you look at the price per credit hour of classes and stuff that kids are getting, I know my own daughter should be a junior at Ohio Northern, and she's going to be graduating after this year. So she's going to save a whole year herself of college tuition and being in college. So it just sets kids up, and they really feel prepared. We have some really good teachers and programs here that when they go to college, they're ready to go, and they're leading the pack, and they're doing well in their classes. So it's a great, great program. We also have a great TriStar program, a great career-based intervention program, a great DECA program. We have great, you know, leads and pathways to the military. So I'm just very proud of the way that our kids come out of here and ready to succeed, again, whichever pathway they want to choose.
Yeah, but it really sounds like for any kid, I mean, what it's about is, you know, what is it you want to do later? Make it known, because you all can help them with that.
Yeah, and we talked a little bit about, like you said, the College Credit Plus, but the new TriStar building out there is just a great opportunity for kids. You know, a lot of kids can go there and get a technical skill, or and those skills are leading to great, great jobs right out of TriStar or right in TriStar. A lot of our kids are working, could be working pretty much full time, but they're working part time because they're still doing their TriStar and taking a couple classes here. But when they, as soon as they graduate, they're getting hired by our local manufacturing, our local companies, our local hospitals, and they're hiring them up in their skilled labor, and they're doing great jobs and making very well for themselves and just continuing, because that's the heartbeat of our communities around here.
Yeah, you probably tell them, no matter what your career choice is, the object of life, be happy.
Exactly.
Right? It's something you want to do.
Exactly.
Right?
And that sets them up for their passion, and they get to do it during their school day, so they get the hands-on experience well. And this year we did do a new, and I think they talked to you a little bit about it. If not, they will tomorrow, but our LEAD program. And our LEAD program is kind of that step that bridges the gap, too, even with the College Credit Plus kids, but it's an actual internship apprenticeship program where kids can get spend an hour or two in the career field that they want to kind of make sure they're going to be a good fit for them, or to kind of feel it out. Because we have a lot of kids that might be a senior, and say, you ask them what they're going to do, and they might say, I'm going to be an engineer. And then you go, okay, well, what do you want to be? What kind of engineer? And they're like, well, I'm not sure yet. So this way we can get them in maybe a crown, and they get to see if they want to be a mechanical engineer. Maybe they want to be a civil engineer and help with the city. Maybe they want to be a chemical engineer and go to the gas plant. So it's just a matter of getting them those experiences so they can better make decisions, and that's going to lead to future successes for them.
All right. As always, you know, we thank you so much for your time. This is the place to be, right? This is where
you
see the kids in the best mood.
It is. They are, like I said, they're usually really happy coming to lunch today. I'm kind of keeping my eye out just because we didn't have a delay this morning. But yeah, they're all smiling and they're all ready to eat.
Well, and you're teaching them one good thing. When you get into the professional world, whether there's fog or snow on the ground, a lot of times once you're a grown-up, all that means is you leave early.
Yep.
You don't get to stay
exactly.
home.
Exactly.
They're learning, right?
They are.
Hey, a quick break. We're going to come back and talk about the gifting classes and the STEM program, and then a word from the Mav Youth Media Program as we continue back to school, St. Mary, 96.7 away.
This is Chad Fisher. I'm the lead pastor of Rock City Church. We're launching a brand new location in Grand Lake at St. Mary's Memorial High School on October 6th. And I want to personally invite you to be a part. If you live in the Salina, St. Mary's, or Lima area, or anywhere around Grand Lake, I hope you'll join us for our very first service. It's going to be absolutely incredible. You can learn more at rockcitychurch.tv. We cannot wait to see you there.
This time of the year just gets busier, so take a break and head to CJ's Highmarks in Salina to enjoy the new seasonal favorites. Try the new summer sausage skillet, Caesar salmon wrap, or the Bang Bang shrimp. If you're just thirsty, you can belly up to the bar and grab a lake water cocktail, a pineapple paloma, or a featured mocktail like the Pebbles and Bam Bam or the Strawberry Splash. It's always refreshing this time of the year at CJ's Highmarks in Salina.
Attention! If you owe money to the IRS, this is an urgent message. The IRS is cracking down by sending out heart-stopping letters, aggressively garnishing paychecks, seizing bank accounts, and putting liens on homes and businesses. They call it enforced compliance, and you better watch out, because penalties and interest on unpaid taxes compound daily, making it seem impossible to ever get out of debt. Don't let the tax debt destroy your life. You need to call Optima Tax Relief, the number one tax resolution firm. They're experts in the Fresh Start Initiative, one of the biggest breaks that the IRS has ever offered. If you qualify, you could save thousands. Optima's resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for their clients. A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, they'll fight to get you the best deal possible. Call Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-410-6744. 800-410-6744. 800-410-6744.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Well, welcome back here as we are at St. Mary's Memorial High School. We're going back to school in St. Mary's. Megan Gross is our guest, and he's all about gifting classes and the STEM program, which is science, technology, engineering, and math. Megan, good to see you.
Thank you for having me.
Let's hear about you. Where are you from originally? How long have you been in St. Mary's?
Originally, I'm from Northern Virginia, right outside D.C., and this is my first year at St. Mary's.
What was the path that brought you from, you know, near Washington, D.C., all the way to St. Mary's, Ohio?
Pretty circuitous path. I went to college in New York City and then decided I wanted to be a teacher. So then I moved to North Carolina, got my teaching certificate, taught there for a while, met my husband, who's from Coldwater, and then we moved to Cincinnati, and now here.
I knew there had to be a local something in there somewhere,
this
right?
This is kind of, you know, not a put a pin in the map and kind of get here.
But do you like it so far?
I love it. Absolutely love it.
I know it's a lot
yeah.
different than New York City or D.C., but there's a charm in that.
Oh,
in that,
it really
you know,
is. Yeah. And it's a wonderful place to raise my daughter. And so, yeah, really happy here.
I wanted to talk to you about, you know, gifted classes. What grades do you have? And how does a kid get into a gifted class?
So to qualify for gifted, there state standards. Normally we use like MAP data. They have to score like a 97% or higher. And that could be in reading, writing, math. It could be visual arts or social studies or science. So there's a lot of qualifications they can have. But here I teach 6th, 7th, and 8th grade writing specifically. And then I have 3 electives. One is Genius Hour. One is Makers Reading Care. And the other is Public Speaking.
All right. And the idea, too, of when you have these gifted students, the importance of identifying them, I'm sure a lot of this is about helping them realize their, you know, their potential by challenging them a little bit more, because you don't want them to waste their time in school, right? And if you leave a gifted kid in just any class, you're probably going to tune it out pretty quickly.
Yeah,
right?
A lot of boredom sets in.
Yeah, a lot of boredom.
And then I think a lot of times they don't want to have that gifted classification because, oh, what if people think I'm a nerd? So having all of the kids together in a 6-8 kind of mixed class allows their like nerd to be able to shine through, and it's okay to be like that.
You know, and the greatest truth of irony, I don't think there's anyone any cooler than nerds. Nerds are very cool.
They run the world, don't they?
They really do.
They're the money makers and all the good things. Yeah.
You almost want to look at everybody and say, oh, if it makes you feel better to call me names, great, but I'm successful over here, right?
Exactly. And that's what I try to, you know, show them, that it's great that you have these tools, and how can we make you better and make the world better around you with that.
And how many hours a day do you have them?
All day. So my class is about 45 minutes. So we do a lot of intensive writing for those 45 minutes. And then each one of my electives is kind of a special little niche that I found for them.
All right. Now, the importance also of writing, what do you have them write? Do you assign them things and just kind of keep it broad and then see what they can come up with creatively?
Well, right now we're kind of exploring artificial intelligence and how that can guide their writing and how to keep their voice when people say, just use ChatGPT, it's easy to write. And so, you know, avoiding the plagiarism and going through the standards with that and making sure that they are keeping their voice and keeping their integrity and, you know, all those ethical considerations. But a lot of times, you know, I'll give them a topic and say, what can you come up with? And then let's revise it and edit it and make it stronger.
Very important. That, for me, is the one thing with AI that I am comfortable with, is the idea that, you know, you still keep what you wrote, but it's going to help you tidy it up a little bit. I mean, I don't think we mean to, but let's face it, there's a lot going on when you're writing. Typos can happen, mistakes can happen, you might be too wordy. It is kind of cool to have somebody, even if it's a chat bot, say, hey, we're going to tighten this up, you know?
Yes, absolutely. And we went through and we wrote paragraphs about their favorite candy and how it reflects their personality. And then we went, put it through AI, and we did different styles. Like we did, you know, write it professionally, write it as a surfer they wanted to do, write it as a cowboy. So then when you have it, like, written as a cowboy, you can see that there's, like, inherent, like, bias and prejudice. They automatically assume they have a southern accent. So that kind of lends itself to having those really good questions.
It's amazing how far that's gone.
Yeah. It's a little scary how great it is way smarter.
I still think it was funny when I found that one. It wasn't yet a skill. It was more of an attachment that would turn any page into pig leg.
Yes.
That was hilarious.
I know.
You know.
And the things that they can do now, it's crazy.
But some of it also, Google Translate, when people are writing things in other languages. I'm not saying it's always right when you translate it, but at least it sort of tells you what
it's
saying.
It's pretty close. And,
yeah.
You know, I've seen teachers use that for students that speak different languages, that they'll use Google Translate, and it just helps kind of bridge the gap a little bit.
That's for sure. So, you know, obviously, again, you're preparing them, and probably you're talking to them more on their level, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Absolutely.
You ever sometimes have moments with the kids where you think, hang on, I need to look this up. You're too smart.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
Yes. And I'll tell them, I don't know. I think that's really important that kids, you know, we're not infallible as teachers, and I think they need to know that. And as a gifted student, they need to know that they're not infallible either, and that always questioning and researching and finding out new things is really important.
And what they say, always try to surround yourself with people smarter than you.
Yes,
you can,
and
right?
In some of those classes, I am certainly surrounded by those smarter than myself. Yeah, it is. It's great to see these kids so smart and want to improve.
And I think also it's good, you know, to stay humble, to know that you don't know everything.
Absolutely.
Heaven knows when you look sometimes in the comment section on Facebook, which I don't recommend doing,
there's
a lot of people, they sure think they know it all.
Yeah.
And you look at this and you think, wow. You know, and the thing is, don't be that way. Like, be teachable, right?
Yes.
Coachable.
Absolutely.
Let's also talk about, you know, when you've got STEM programs, science, technology, engineering, and math, those are some subjects. I don't mean to stereotype, but I'll say you probably make a pretty good living someday if you're good in those subjects,
absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it's such a growing field, and a lot of it is just inquiry-based and problem-solving, all skills that kids need in whatever field they choose. But those kind of classes lend themselves to them exploring those things and making mistakes and realizing where they made the mistake and where they can improve.
I thought about sometimes when we talk to some of the kids in the robotics class, they'll share with us that, you know, when they finally did build something that could do what they wanted it to do, but they had failures along the way. You thought you had it right. You pushed the button, and that robot's not doing what you thought it was going to do. But then you have to go back and understand that the mistake's on you. This is not a living thing. You somehow messed up somewhere down the line with your instructions, right?
Yes, and where to fix it. We built judo bots, and then they got to fight each other. And some kids were like, mine's going to be wonderful. We know how to do everything, and then they lost in the first round of our tournament. But going back and making those corrections and feeling like they were successful in correcting those mistakes made a big difference.
Yeah, and perhaps that was more important than the actual building, right? That last minute refinement, right?
Yeah, and finding those mistakes and finding out where their strengths are and finding good group members that, you know, highlight their strengths and boost up their weaknesses has been really essential as well.
And so the other thing, too, it seems like a lot of these things, I mean, you know, science, technology, engineering, and math, I can see someday where they might have a job where they use all four of them.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know?
I don't think it's one that you can just pick out individually. I think it's just a whole kind of new genre of jobs that are going to be coming up from this.
In addition, also not being afraid to ask for help. You know, if you finally tried everything, you can grab somebody that might, you know, it makes you feel bad when they look at something and they answer your question in 2 seconds. Sometimes you get so into something, and it's hard to pull back and be objective or even see things that, you know, somebody else might see them right away. You're too close to it, right?
Right, and I think just asking for help is difficult for a lot of people, and these kind of classes teach people it's okay to ask for help and to ask for clarification to figure out where your mistakes are.
You think about the importance of someday when you're part of a design team, as
right.
they call it, right? And you don't have to do it all, and you probably shouldn't.
No.
But you got to know your area.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, and that's like kind of with teaching. You have to have your area, but you have to be able to ask for help and work as a team and collaborate with each other.
And also fun when you do get to work together, make friends, what
yes.
have you, right?
Yes. We do a lot of group work. We're doing projects right now in my Makers Reading Care class. And we read the book A Dog's Purpose. And so all the kids have different projects going on that we're going to donate to the local animal shelter. So it's been interesting to see how kids tap into their own talents, whether it's using the 3D printer for making dog bowls or kids who are more social called True Value and said, can we have some PVC pipes to make dog beds? And we got that. And so it's just interesting to see that, like, how they work in different groups to create something for others as well.
And dog beds are important because that way your dog has a bed that they can not use as they would rather sleep on your blanket
absolutely.
That they stole from
yes.
you.
Yes,
yeah.
absolutely.
You got to learn that lesson,
yeah.
too. in addition to that, you did reference 3D printers. I can't believe some of the things people make now. It is unreal, and I see a lot of times, you know, people will exchange the schematics. Like, I've got the printer, but how did you make this thing? Oh, here's how I did it. And, you know, I know you'll be out some for the materials you have to buy, but what you can design, you know, you can decorate your own home the way you want it. Really,
it's
you know?
Really amazing, and the kids are using that right now for these dog projects. So we've also thought about making large checkers pieces and bringing those to the nursing home, or creating checkerboards on sheets for kids in the hospital so that they can play checkers while they're sitting in their hospital beds. And the kids have really taken this stuff with the 3D printers and run with it. And they ask me questions, and I say, I don't know. Let's try it, and if it works, great. If not, let's figure it out. And I think that trial and error process, because I don't know everything about it by any means, you know, so they teach me a lot.
And sometimes when we look back at some of the great inventors, whether it was, you know, Edison, for example, or, you know, you realize that they had an awful lot of failures along the
yes.
way and a lot of people who laughed at them along the way. I'm mm-hmm. sure there was a time that people would have thought that the idea of having this thing in your house that you could pick up and speak to other people in other cities on it was the craziest
right.
thing
yes.
you ever heard of. But, you know, we kind of went from, well, what did you say, Watson, come here, I need you, to the first time New York is called London, you know? But
right.
It had to start somewhere.
Yes, and the progress that it takes is just amazing, how quickly things evolve. And I'm sure that these brand-new, beautiful 3D printers that St. Mary's got me in 2 years are going to be all bleak.
Oh, yeah.
Just because the technology moves so quickly.
Do you remember how cool it was when you had, like, your first computer and, you know, I think the first one I had, the hard drive, I had a whopping like 40 gig of memory or something.
You're right.
And I wondered how I could possibly use all of that.
Yes. Yes, and like a dot matrix printer.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
me
and it
too.
Would take forever to print something. And now it's not even a thought.
Laser quick.
Yes.
As you need it. Yeah.
Yes.
And so, yeah, things like that. Or also, again, how far it can go. I can remember thinking that the internet was pretty cool. I didn't know we could do much on it because it took forever to dial in, took forever to load in a page. Then here comes the high speed where suddenly pages were loading instantaneously. You could stream things to the streaming devices that we now had. But
right.
somebody had to design all that stuff.
Yeah, and someone had to have a need for it. I think, you know, where is the hole in the market and where is the need and can I fill that? And it's amazing what they've been able to do. Yeah,
it seems also with marketing is they'll either find something you need or find something you didn't know you needed.
Right, right.
How many times have you watched a commercial and go, I got to have that.
Or how did I not think of that? You know, I should have thought of that. You know, we watched Shark Tank in our Genius Hour class, and the kids are like, why didn't I ever think of that? I'm like, that is what I think every time I watch this show.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding. You have a lot more money sometimes than you think of these things.
Pretty
neat. So for you, you know, we talk about what is next. You had mentioned, you know, what's going on with technology, and you have new 3D printers. Anything else you have that people would be curious to learn about?
I got a new makerspace cart. So basically, it can make 300 different kinds of STEM kind of projects. So we've made rubber band racers and then worked on, like, gravity and using hydraulics. And we made those. We made the judo bot. One of my classes is making wiggle bots and using different batteries for how they can make movement and adding colors and things like that. So it's been really interesting. And I let the kids decide, what are we going to make next?
You know, what's also cool is a lot of those things that you mentioned almost sound like toys or novelty, but not really, right? I mean, you know, when you think about manufacturing facilities, use robots, you know, or how many other people, they don't do housework like they used to. They put a Roomba down on the ground and let it clean, right? So
exactly.
Who knows how far this will go.
Right, and they really enjoy trying to find, like, different ways that they can improve on their design. And I think that's really good going through that process.
And I also wanted to, you know, mention, too, how far that can go. I don't know if you used to watch the Jetsons, but I really want a Rosie.
Yes, wouldn't that be amazing?
We've got to get one going, you know?
I need one of those. My Roomba's just not cutting it.
No.
I would love to have something like that.
I used to laugh when Jane was complaining about housework because she had to push all those buttons, right?
Right.
We wish, right?
Wouldn't that be amazing?
That really would be, you know, something. So, but again, all of this stuff has to start somewhere, and I never know if it could start from the street somewhere in St. Mary's, Ohio, right?
I would think so. We have a lot of good things going.
Okay, excellent. I want to thank you for coming. Megan Gross, our guest with 50 Class and STEM. The sky is certainly the limit, and we thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, good friends. We're going to come back. We're going to talk with Matt as we continue back to school on 96.7. Go away.
Hi, I'm Bryce.
Hi, I'm Brian.
I'm Chelsea.
We are the owners of Johnson Mechanical in Coldwater and now the new owners of Kogi Plumbing and Heating in St. Mary's.
We are the area's only Carrier and Bryant factory authorized dealers.
From heating and cooling to faucets and sewers and everything in between, we're now your go-to for all your HVAC and plumbing needs. Call Johnson Mechanical or Kogi today.
We look forward to serving you.
There are many reasons that parents throughout the Grand Lake region trust the health of their kids to Grand Lake Health System. For some, it's our team of compassionate physicians. They possess a special blend of clinical expertise and personality that allows them to effectively treat and connect with children of all ages. For others, it's the convenient offices in four Grand Lake communities. For all of them, it's because they want the very best care for their kids. Begin your grand experience by visiting grandlakehealth.org/pediatrics.
Progressive presents Renters MVP's Most Valuable Possessions. Today's MVP, Emily Neal's 70-inch TV. Because after watching her second-grade students yell at each other for hours, there's nothing Emily enjoys more than watching super-rich housewives also yell at each other. Why? Because those women are not her responsibility. And that's why her TV is today's MVP. Keep your most valuable possessions protected by bundling your renters and auto insurance with Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent. So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle.
Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle. This back-to-school season, Tide and Downy are giving back with $1.5 million in scholarships. Enter to win. No purchase necessary. US/TC17+. Ends September 30th. Rules. Tide.com/scholarship/official rules.
And welcome back here. We're on 96.7 away. We're back to school from St. Mary's. We have Jessica Skinner with us, who's program coordinator for MAV Youth Mentoring. And first of all, I want to thank you for coming, Jessica. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Let's talk about, you know, the presence of MAV, you know, in St. Mary's schools. I know when I was here on Monday. You kind of had a little booth set up here. You were trying to recruit some kids. When you come into the schools, what is the purpose of that and who you're trying to get here?
I'm sorry, say that again.
So talk with us when you come into the schools, the purpose of being here and who you're trying to recruit with these kids.
So who we're trying to recruit with the kids is usually our high school buddy or our high school mentor, our high school students to do our after-school buddy program. But within the schools, we have our lunch club program. And our primary, we have probably 18 students that we do lunch club with our adults. And then here at the middle school, we have our mission and visions program. So we have three adults that come in, and we have two writer times with our middle school students. And then we have our after-school program with our high school students.
All right, the idea there of you've got some of the older students, the high schoolers, and you're trying to, you know, get them to be buddies with the younger ones.
Yes.
Maybe, you know, be that good role model, right? Maybe be that good role model.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, we want them to be essentially like a big brother to them, to just be a good listener, to be a positive role model so that they can show the students how to have empathy, how to be kindness, and just how to have fun.
The most important thing is that while we all try to teach our kids these things, let's face it, when we were growing up, sometimes when we heard the same thing from different people, that's who we listened to. They were our mentors, our teachers,
Yes. Friends,
you know, people that were only maybe a little older, so maybe we connected with them a little better.
Yes, yes. Well, I think you can relate to another child, whether it's a little bit older than you rather than an adult, because for me, I know that someone who can make me laugh versus an adult, I wanna hang out with you a little bit more. And so if you're going to play a game with me versus if you're going to lecture me, I'm going to just have that more of a relationship with you.
That's true. And I don't know, a lot of times, at least for me growing up, lectures were usually not effective. You tuned them out about halfway through anyway, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Sorry, parents, that's how that goes, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And in general, it's not really a new thing, right? Where you come into the schools and try to get some of the younger people recruited into that. I mean, that's been going on a while, right?
Yes. So Big Brothers Big Sisters has been around for a really long time. I know the MAV, they disaffiliated, Big Brothers did, in 2019. So I'm not sure how long Big Brothers Big Sisters has been around, but MAV's been around since then. Andrew probably would give you a better time limit of that. But for me, I think that anytime you can have a positive role model for someone, it gives you that opportunity to just be a better person out in the community and just overall in your workplace.
I was going to also add, a lot of times if we think about like our coaches, for example, right? If anybody plays sports, their coach taught them all about the game, but for so many of them, you can clearly tell in their eyes, this isn't just their coach, right?
Yes.
This is somebody that really taught them about life. And people would think, what do you mean? Isn't this just X's and O's? No, not at all. There's so many life lessons in that.
Yes. Yes. You can always learn a life lesson from a mentor. Yes.
Some of that might even be don't get discouraged, you know, when things don't work out the way you think they were. Or other times when you kind of realize something went wrong this week, and the hardest thing you realize is, and it was your fault. It was what you did, right? What can you do to get better, right?
Yes.
And I think also, as we're talking with Jessica Skinner, the program director for MAV Youth Mentoring, talk with us a bit about the programs that are available. Like people that are listening, you know, whether it's in school or out of school, you certainly, you know, kind of match up like the bigs and the little, right?
So the bigs and the littles, we have our community program, which is the one-on-one. That's an actual Big Brother, Big Sisters. That is usually the outside community. But here in the St. Mary's Middle School is a new program that we created during the writer time. So when the kids are here at lunch, some of the kids come down to us in the office or the conference room. And we have a curriculum called the Ripple Effect. And that's where we get to teach them empathy, kindness, just how if we have a healthy body, a healthy mind, and how a smile, just being kind, how that ripples out into the community, or it ripples out here into their classroom. So that's a new program that we started this year. The lunch club is over at the primary school, and that's where right now we just have all adult mentors that go. And then starting in October is the after-school program with the high schoolers.
Yeah, and let's talk about after-school, because that's also a time where if there is a bit of a bridge between, like, when you get done with school and, you know, perhaps your parent comes home, is a time where things actually could go wrong, right? You're trying to say, this is a positive time. Let's do some good things after school.
So the 3:30 to 5 is over at the intermediate school. That's our high schoolers that get the opportunity to come over, and we do a snack, a recess time for them, a little bit of homework time, so that kind of takes that little bit of break off of mom and dad. And then we do a little lesson. That lesson this year will be called Be the Spark, kind of similar to the ripple effect. And then they do a craft and a game, and then parents pick them up. That's one day a week on Tuesdays here in St. Mary's, and then they get to go home with their family.
And I bet kids love it, right?
Oh, they absolutely love it. We only take a certain amount, which I think is around 20 kids, but gosh, if we could take more, we sure would.
Well, the good thing about that is obviously you've got to know your limits. If you have too many of them, it's not going to do what you want it to do, right?
Right, right.
Another thing you talk about, you know, the positive mentor, you know, the idea that, you match a big and a little. They might be surprised. It may not be the kind of investment you think it is. You don't have to see each other every day, right? And so we're talking with the center who's at NAB Youth Mentoring, and we're at the St. Mary's Memorial High School in the cafeteria. When you match a big and a little, it doesn't have to be the time investment that they think it is, right?
Right. It's only twice a month if you do the lunch club, once a week if you do the after-school program, and the mission and visions is once a week for a half an hour, whichever ride or time that you choose. And then the community outside program, we just ask twice a month. You could do that for an hour, 2 hours, whatever your choice is, but it's really not that much. I promise you it's more of a blessing when you choose to do that than it is for the child.
Yeah, you think about all the things that you enjoy. If you have things in common, it could be anything from sports to a new movie coming out. It's going to be a lot of fun to have a kid to talk to you about that, right?
It could. I mean, it could be taking a walk. It could be going to get ice cream, yogurt. It could be... I love with my mentor watching old movies from when I was a kid, because they don't get that opportunity to be open to watching those movies, like Back to the Future or just some old chick flicks when we were a kid, old music when we were a kid. They don't get that opportunity.
Well, and you know what's really awful is when Marty went back 30 years to 1955, 30 years now is 1994. I don't want them to remake this movie.
I don't want them to remake that movie.
We don't want to think about that,
nope,
do we?
Nope, not at all.
But also fun that sometimes you can even share with the kid, you know, as long as you don't overdo it, like what it was like to grow up, you know, years ago. I know my kids think it's funny when I tell them about the world without the internet and,
exactly,
you know, that kind of stuff.
Exactly. I mean, a simple conversation is all it takes. And sometimes they just want to be heard. Nothing more. They don't need anything else from you.
Another thing also is, this certainly goes for your agency, but also some others. I mean, some of those matches that you make are lifelong. Even if somebody moved away, that's what social media is for. But there's awesome stories of people that stayed friends for life, that, you know, the big sister and, you know, the little sister ended up like she was in their wedding and stuff like that. The kids get named after
her. We
have
one of those where she was in the wedding. We have one where we talked to just a few weeks ago where she actually still talks to the youth that she had mentored and then her kids.
Isn't that
so
something?
You get to see those generations go down. It is just phenomenal.
And there probably was a time in that person's life where they thought, I'm not sure if I'm going to do this or not. Well,
yes.
Aren't they glad they did, right?
I'm sure they did. I'm sure they said, I just don't know if I can do this.
Well, another thing is probably some of the best things in life, I think, come about when we ignore the voice that says, I don't think we can do this. And you do it anyways, just on faith. That usually works out pretty good.
It definitely works out. And what a great way to be a mentor, because that's what we want to teach them.
That's for sure. And setting that example.
Yep.
You know, and sometimes also being honest.
Yep. Yes.
You know, and saying, well, yeah, you probably didn't do good on that test. Did you really study? Let's talk about that. But don't be judgmental and say, okay, well, I think you see the issue here, right?
Well, the fun part is we're not really a parent.
That's
and we
right.
don't really have to be the boss, but we definitely get to add those little tidbits of advice in there.
Yeah.
So we get to add a little bit, but yet not really be that authoritarian. We get to be more of a friend and just someone who gets to guide them a little bit.
It's almost as much fun as being a grandparent filling the kids up full of sugar and sending them home.
Yes.
It's right in that category.
Definitely.
Right?
Definitely.
Another thing, too, for any parents that wonder, okay, but where's this mentor going to come from? Who is this person? Hey, you screen them out, you do background checks. You know, that part is sure.
Yes, we run thorough background checks, driving records. We do interviews. We get free references. We do all kinds of fun stuff that, like one-on-ones with them before we actually even match them up with someone. So they're thoroughly checked before we just say, here you go, this person's straight off the street.
Right. So, no question. All right, I want to thank you, Jessica, for dropping by. We appreciate having you come by during your time in school. And for anybody listening, they can look up MAV and give you a call at the agency. I know you've got social media, website, all that stuff. If they want to get involved and you know, and be somebody's mentor or even their lunch buddy, right? Or, you know,
yep.
Growing up, sometimes you did have to eat alone. That was kind of a drag, right?
Yep, yep. Yep, right. We never want to leave anyone behind.
That's right. Thank you so much.
Awesome.
Appreciate
thank
it.
You.
So we thank our guest today, Jessica, of course, Superintendent Bill Ruane. Mike Reams dropped by. We talked to the gatekeepers. Now, tomorrow on this show, we've got drama, but not bad drama. The Drama Club will be here. We'll have the Art Club. We'll talk girls golf. We'll talk about the Go Lead program. And so that's going to be a lot of fun, as it always is. When we come to St. Mary's to do back to school, we'll be back tomorrow. Thank you again to Clay Roberts for his help as we continue on 96.7 The Wave.